Hello and welcome to Daughters of Narcissistic Mothers podcast, your number one podcast for women reclaiming their life by healing mother wounds and stepping into their power. Today, we're unpacking the wound of feeling like a failure for daughters of narcissistic mothers. And in this episode, the benefits that you will get are you will understand why it is so common for daughters of narcissistic mothers to feel like failures, helping you in feeling less alone in this, and also how what determines success or failure is not actually objective. We're going to talk about that. And listen to the end to hear the 6 steps that I'm going to share with you to turn it all around and stop feeling like a failure from today. I am Mathilde and I'm your host. I'm an inner transformation mentor supporting women reclaiming their life through the 1-on-1 10 weeks program and through Reclaim Your Fullness online community. To hear more about these offerings, check the links in the description of this episode. So let me start by asking you, how often do you feel like a failure? How often do you describe yourself as a failure when you're talking about yourself? Have you been feeling like a failure your whole life? If you have, I get it. I have been feeling like a failure myself for most of my life, and it is a voice inside of me that can come back still and be quite loud at times. And I also hear this from clients very, very often. They often tell me, I feel like a failure. I have failed at so much in my life. I keep failing at everything. And there's so much pain that comes with this feeling of being like a failure, being a failure. So much pain. It breaks my heart when I hear a wonderful person describing themselves as a failure. So I wanted to do an episode on this because it is such an important topic. If you're feeling like a failure, or you have felt like that often in your life, the first thing I want you to know is that you're not alone. Many feel the same way, and many don't say that out loud, but they're feeling it on the inside nonetheless. So when you're going around and you're seeing all these incredibly successful looking people, very often inside they're feeling like a failure too. They may not be showing it as much. So you're not alone. And it is common for daughters of narcissistic mothers to feel like a failure. Is it because we are? Absolutely not. So why do so many daughters of narcissistic mothers feel like a failure? Let me start by asking you this. Who determines what is failure and what is success? You know, who is this like group of people or who is it that says that's a failure and that's a success, that's it? Who is it? What are the objective criteria to go by in defining a person as a failure? Who holds the truth of what it means to be a failure? And who imposes those criteria onto others from the very start of their life? You've guessed the answer, I'd say, by now. A narcissistic mother does. A narcissistic mother, and of course, a narcissistic parent in general, will have a very precise set of truths as to what is to be considered the failure and what is to be considered the success. And she will make sure to let you know in which category you fall with each thing that you do. From a narcissistic mother, you're going to hear it very, very often. What is failure and what is success? She may not be using these exact words, but she's going to let you know. And a narcissistic mother will speak all of it as absolute truth. It's never going to be just her opinion. It's actually going to be spoken as if it was an objective truth. A narcissistic mother uses put downs, truth telling, as we mentioned, comparisons to others, forms of triangulations and gossiping. She expresses her opinions loudly. She uses overt or covert judgments and criticisms and so on. And as a child, you took it all in. So you may have experienced some of the things I've mentioned, or many of the things that I mentioned, if not all of them. I definitely have experienced all of them in my own family, not just with my mother, but also with other narcissistic members of my family. And as children, we take it all in. We take it all in. And these go to form the set of beliefs that then will have us define ourselves as failures later on in life as adults. You may have been the scapegoat and been told from the very start how bad you were and how bad you are and how much of a failure you will always be. That's what the scapegoat gets very, very, very often. Or you may have been the golden child and been given a very specific set of criteria that would determine if you were loved as a success or if you would fall from grace as a failure. Depending on the circumstances, so you have developed beliefs on what it means to be a failure, but those beliefs are based on the toxicity and dysfunction of emotionally immature people, parents that don't actually have real confidence and real self-love, and they don't know how to emotionally regulate, and they have no idea how to be emotionally mature, and so that they project onto their children, you, me, and all others listening to this podcast, what their idea of success and failure is. And so we take on all of those beliefs. So what I want to ask you is, what does it mean to you? What does being a failure mean to you? Why do you say, what has you say that you're a failure? Is it that you make a lot of mistakes, for example? Every person who has become really good at something, you know, successful sports people, like anyone that has been good at their craft or their art or whatever they were doing, they will say, they will tell you how they made plenty of mistakes. I always think of Michael Jordan. My husband is a great fan and likes listening to him talking, so he's quite the presence in our home. But he says that he missed more shots than anyone else because he tried more shots than anyone else, and he also got the most shots to go through. So without mistakes, there is no growth. Without failing all those shots, there wouldn't have been all the successful shots he took. A mistake means you've tried something and that you have learned that there is room for improvement. But of course, with a narcissistic mother, there is no room for mistakes. What she considers a mistake, what is a mistake that you make, reflects on her. Because remember that a narcissistic mother is going to live life through you in some way or another. And everything that you do reflects on her because there's no separation. So therefore, with her inflated sense of self and the story that she wants to tell of perfection, she can't have you making mistakes. That's simply not acceptable. There's no room for mistakes. If you don't get it right by her standards, then there are going to be consequences. And of course, as a child, in order to avoid those consequences, because they're hurtful and very unpleasant, you start believing mistakes are a bad thing. And so mistakes are not allowed anymore. And when we make what we consider mistakes, the so-called mistakes, then we consider ourselves a failure. And we forget in this process that being human means trying and making mistakes and then trying again or changing. And that this is all part of learning and living life. And so we start regarding the so-called mistakes as failures. And that's the first really important mechanism of how we end up calling ourselves failures. We're looking back and of course we're going to see things that didn't go quite as planned. I don't even like calling them mistakes. I'm using this word here for clarity. But what I want to say about this word mistake, it's a mistake. So you didn't take it in a way that was like going to bring you the outcome you wanted. So now you can take that again and in a different way. That's what a mistake is. It's not actually a bad thing, but that's how we start regarding them. And so this mechanism is one of the mechanisms at the base of beginning to feel like a failure. Because if you're looking back in your life, you're gonna see, as we said, mistakes. You're gonna see things that didn't quite go as planned. And instead of looking back and go, well, that's just what life is about, that's what being human is about. I have a certain amount of knowledge, a certain amount of experience. I try different things. Sometimes they are successful and sometimes they're not. Sometimes they go and give me an outcome that is what I wanted, and sometimes what I've tried doesn't actually work. Maybe because I need to learn something else or I need to change a little, but we don't see it that way. We start judging it as a mistake with a negative connotation to it, as a failure, as something bad. And also that failure means that automatically, if I failed at things, then I am a failure. And we start identifying with that failure because this is what your mother told you growing up. When you were making a mistake, you were told you were wrong, you were bad, you were a mistake. Has anyone been told you were a mistake? I have. And it hurts, but we start taking it on. So that's the first mechanism. And then there's the set of criteria you have learned that define failure or success inside your family. So in my family, for example, success is only ever determined by the amount of money one makes. Nothing else really matters in my family. When they ask you how are things going, what they want to know is how's your bank account. They don't want to know if you're happy, if you're feeling calm and peaceful and serene, or if you're sad, or if your garden is growing beautifully, or I don't know, whatever, or if you're getting, you're getting good quality time with your children or with your husband. Like, they don't care about any of that. What they want to know is how much money are you making? That's success, okay? And nothing else is celebrated. Even my dad, who always told me when I was a child that money isn't everything, he also called me his biggest disappointment when I was in my 20s and I wasn't making a lot of money at all. So those were beliefs that I grew up with, and I've judged my entire life up until very recently looking at what I was making in terms of money, which hasn't very often been much at all. So I've looked at myself as a failure for a very, very long time because of these criteria. So again, what are those criteria in your family? What criteria of success and failure were given to you by your family or by your narcissistic mother? That's important because when we make those criteria our own, they go fuel our belief of what success and failure is. So again, it's not actually an inherent objective success and failure because that doesn't exist. There isn't a truth of what it means to be successful. You go around the world and ask different people from different cultures, from different backgrounds, from different places, what it means to be successful. And you're going to get a whole bunch of different answers because there isn't an objective one. And yet, with a narcissistic family or narcissistic mother, that's what we grow up with, believing that there is like a specific set of criteria that determines success or failure. And if we don't fit in that box, if we don't fit with those criteria, then we are automatically a failure. Has your mother ever celebrated you like this? It's great that you're learning to know yourself better. How wonderful. It's so wonderful that you're allowing yourself space and time to figure what your dream is and then go for it. How wonderful that you don't have absolute certainty on what you want to do next. I trust you will get the answer, and I'm here to support you if you need me. Did you get any of that? I certainly didn't. And if you're here today listening to this podcast, I can guess that you didn't either. I remember my mother actually Oh my God, like the levels of emotional abuse when I wasn't certain about stuff. She expected me, and God, she let me know how much of a failure I was when I wasn't certain, to be absolutely certain of what I would want to do when I grew up, when I was in my early teens. I had to know for certain, and I had to be taking steps, and I had, because if I didn't start then I'd be lost forever in life. I'd be a failure. And of course, I had no idea how, like, what, who at 14 knows exactly what they want to be when they grow up, like with absolute certainty. Maybe there are some, and I like bow to them. I definitely didn't. I hadn't a clue. My family was split in a million different ways. In different countries, some were living in Ireland, some were living in Italy, some were living in the States. It was like I had no idea what I wanted to do, where I wanted to live. I didn't know what I was going to do the next day. And this lack of certainty was such a big deal. She used to get so mad at me, hours and hours and hours of horrendously abusive conversations with truth telling and all of that. So how different would it have been to hear her saying that it was wonderful that I didn't have certainty, and that she trusted that I would have gotten the answer when the time was right, and that she was going to be there to support me. That is the difference that it makes in the set of beliefs that we take on. What we've been given out to for, what we've been told, the truths that we've been told by our mothers and all of that, they all go to form the set of beliefs that now have us saying, I'm a failure. So what example did you get? That's another mechanism. So we've spoken about this not allowance to make mistakes, and how mistakes are regarded and judged as really bad and make you a bad person, make you a failure. The second thing is the set of criteria that you've been given that determine what a success and a failure is. And the third mechanism that I want to talk about today is, what example did you get? What example? How balanced and stable was your mother, or your parents, or your family in general? How happy and emotionally regulated was your mother or your family in general? Mine definitely wasn't. Not only my mother, but if we want to go into specific with my mother, her example of how to deal with money and career, her example on how to be in a healthy relationship, her example on how to mother children, her example on how to deal with challenging emotions were all screwed up. There was no good example there in any of that. And there was no guidance. What guidance did you receive? Was it healthy guidance, or was it toxic? With a narcissistic mother, it hardly ever is healthy guidance. We don't get that. So, how can you be a failure in life if you got no guidance on anything? No example to go by? Like, if I asked you, I love horse riding. I've done it for years since I was a child, and I don't know how many of you listening in do that. But if you've never been on a horse, and all of a sudden you are told, get up on a horse and, I don't know, do whatever, do some training tricks or do jump a fence or whatever, and you can't do that, would you define yourself as a failure? Not really, because you've never done it before and you've had no guidance. Now, if you start taking lessons and then you get like beautiful guidance, and you're actually going to succeed, there's not going to be room for failure. At the most, you're going to decide that you don't like it and you're not going to pursue it. But if you love it and you want to keep going, you are going to be successful because you've received the guidance that's required. We have not received guidance in anything in life in a healthy way. We've received a lot of truths, a lot of opinions, a lot of criticism and judgment, a lot of that. But actual guidance, actual good example, we didn't get. So that's the third mechanism. We actually did not get any guidance as to how navigate this life, and the tools that we've been given were messed up at best. So, all of this long-winded talk to say you are not a failure. I know that for a fact. You're here today. You made it here. That's to be celebrated. Some of, like, the life that we've lived, the things that we've been through, you're here. Mm-hmm. And although I don't know you, so I can't go into specifics, I know there's plenty you did and achieved up until this moment that is absolutely amazing. I know that for a fact. Only you don't know that you can call that a success because no one ever acknowledged it as that. That's the thing. It doesn't fall in that set of criteria and beliefs that determine it an objective, quote-unquote, success. And so you're looking at your life and you're only noticing the things that you failed at because your mother made sure to underline those, to highlight those. And you're not seeing the beautiful and amazing things you've done up until now. But I know you have done plenty of amazing stuff. You've achieved plenty. So what can you do? I promised you 6 steps. I said if you listen till the end, you're going to get 6 steps of something you can do from now to stop feeling like a failure. So what are these 6 steps? I'm going to tell you now. Step one, answer what success means to you. What does success mean to you? And not what it means to the rest of the world or to your narcissistic mother or to your family system, but to you. What makes you feel happy, fulfilled? And this may take a little time because at the beginning, especially when we're trying to untangle from the family system and from a narcissistic mother, we may actually have no idea once we start removing all the things that, okay, those are the criteria my mother told me, those are the things that my mother thinks is success and all of that, we might be left with quite a blank and not knowing, okay, what does it actually mean to me? So it may take a little while. But I promise if you stick with that, you're actually going to start getting real pearls of what is really meaningful to you. And that's going to be very helpful. So that's the first step. The second step is stop comparing yourself to others. If you've listened to this podcast for a while, you know that I say that a lot. And I say that a lot because comparison is poison. It's absolute poison. It's so unhelpful. What you see, what other people show you, especially in this era of social media and all of that, it's rarely the full truth. I could say it's never the full truth, but I don't want to be that absolute, but it's definitely rarely the full truth. And in any case, there's no objective formula. So what makes others feel successful, let them be. Yeah, that's great. And you just stick with what makes you feel successful. And if you haven't gotten there yet, that's okay. There isn't a timeline. You know, if you haven't gotten there by a certain time, then it means you're a failure. There isn't a timeline. I always go back to, there's one example of an author that I can't think of the name right now, but he started writing novels in his 60s and he became incredibly successful and sold a lot of books. And I wrote my first novel and I'm 40 and it's not published. It's on Wattpad for people to read. You're welcome to read it. The link is in the description of the episode, but it doesn't matter. My success, for me, what that means is I wrote it. I enjoyed the process immensely. I had so much fun. And I have fun when I hear that people have read it and they enjoyed it too. That's my success. So again, what it means to you, that's really important. And stop comparing yourself to others. Success might mean something different to them, and that's okay. Let others inspire you rather than compare yourself and feel defeated. Step number 3, normalize making mistakes. We spoke about that in the mechanism. Mistakes are part of life, are part of growth, of creating anything meaningful. Mistakes are necessary to gain wisdom and to grow in life. So celebrate them. instead of beating yourself up for them, and learn from them. Call them experiences instead of mistakes. If mistake has, you know, it has quite a negative connotation at this point in general. So they're not mistakes, they're experiences, experiences you've learned from. And those experiences are what gives you the wisdom that you have now today. You couldn't have that wisdom without those so-called mistakes, without those experiences. So normalize making mistakes as part of life. Doesn't mean you're a failure, ever. Step number 4, let go of the idea that being successful means that others will love you and accept you. Yes, it's true with your narcissistic mother. She has a set of criteria that determines whether she will love you and accept you, but that's because she's a narcissistic person. She's toxic and emotionally immature and not very healthy, as an example of relating. The most precious love and acceptance is the one you can gift yourself. And when you stop seeing yourself as a failure and you actually give yourself space to feel how amazing you are, that is love and acceptance that you're giving yourself. And that's medicine, and that is powerful. Number 5, start consciously celebrating yourself. Too often we're told that self-praise is no praise. I was told that very often, the Italian version of it. But there's nothing more enriching than to see your own awesomeness and to celebrate it. And there's no need for others to get it. It doesn't matter if no one gets the writing a novel in English, which is not my first language, and publishing it for free on a platform. For me, is success. I celebrate it. I do. It's class. It was an amazing process, and I had great fun doing that. So that's success, and I can say that. It's a conscious practice, because there are parts of me that want to put that down, that want to criticize and judge, that want to tell me that that's not true, that that's a false success, that I am deluded and all of that. So those parts are there. My mother's voice inside of my head can be there and all of that. But the conscious choice is to go with the celebration of the success. So celebrate yourself in things that you do that are meaningful to you, that light you up, because ultimately that is all that matters. And number 6, this is really especially important and very practical too. Bring your attention on the progress. So we're very conditioned in seeing the gap between where we are and where we want to be. And we're so conditioned to view things that way that we very rarely take the time to see the progress we've made. So bring your conscious attention to the progress you've made. Even if your mother would say it's meaningless or not much to be noteworthy, that's her opinion, not the truth. You celebrate your progress and get really grounded in it. That's really important. You build from that. Small little progress. It can be small for other people, but it's meaningful. It's progress. It's movement in the direction you want to go to. And that's important to note and to celebrate. So I want to recap the steps that I just mentioned. Find out what does success mean to you. Really important. It's going to take some time, but get started on that. Stop comparing yourself to others. Normalize making mistakes. Call them experiences you're learning from and gaining wisdom. Let go of gaining love and acceptance through so-called success. Love and accept yourself. Right here, right now, exactly as you are. And again, this is a conscious choice, because I know that the conditioning is completely different, but you can start choosing different from now. Consciously celebrate yourself and bring your attention on the progress. And remember, I want to add now at the end that your worth is so not determined by what the world describes as success. You are lovable and worthy exactly as you are. I know you haven't been told this very often, and definitely not growing up. I had never been told that growing up. But you can start telling that to yourself right now, and I am telling you now. You are lovable and worthy exactly as you are, right here, right now. So with that, I'm going to bring it to a close. I hope this was helpful for you. If you have any questions, feel free to leave them in the comment, or also you can send me an email at mathilde@womenreclaimingtheirfullness.me. Subscribe to the newsletter to learn more about the one-on-one program and to Reclaim Your Fullness online community. And with that, I'm going to send you lots of love, and bye for now.